Benny Rosato shuddered when she caught sight of the place. The building stretched 3 blocks long and stood 8 stories tall. It lacked conventional windows. Instead, slits of bulletproof glass scored its brick facade. Spiked guard towers anchored its corners, and a double row of cyclone fencing topped with razor wire encircled its perimeter, attesting to its maximum security status. Exiled to the industrial outskirts of the city, Philadelphia's Central Corrections housed murderers, sociopaths, and rapists, at least when they weren't on parole. Benny pulled into a parking space in the half-empty visitor's lot, climbed out of her Ford Expedition, and walked down the sidewalk in June's humidity, wrestling with her reluctance. She'd stopped practicing criminal law and had promised herself she'd never see the prison again, until the telephone call from a woman inmate who was awaiting trial. The woman had been charged with the shooting murder of her boyfriend, a detective with the Philadelphia Police, but claimed a group of uniforms had framed her. Benny specialized in prosecuting police misconduct, so she'd slid a fresh legal pad into her briefcase and had driven up to interview the inmate. "The opportunity to change," read a metal plaque over the door, and Benny managed not to laugh. The prison had been designed with the belief that vocational training would convert heroin dealers to key punch operators, and since nobody had any better ideas, still operated on the assumption. Benny opened the heavy gray door, an inexplicably large dent buckling its middle, and went inside. She was immediately assaulted by stifling air, thick with sweat, disinfectant, and a cacophony of rapid-fire Spanish, street English, and languages Benny didn't recognize. Whenever she entered the prison, Benny felt as if she were walking into another world, and the sight evoked in her a familiar dismay. The waiting room, packed with inmates' families, looked more like daycare than prison. Infants in arms rattled plastic keys in primary colors, babies crawled from lap to lap, and a toddler practiced his first steps in the aisle, grabbing a plastic sandal for support as he staggered past. Benny knew the statistics. Nationwide, 75% of women inmates are mothers. The average prison term for a woman lasts a childhood. No matter whether Benny's clients had been brought here by circumstance or corruption, she could never forget that their children were the ultimate victims, ignored at our peril. She couldn't fix it no matter how hard she tried, and she couldn't stop trying. So she had finally turned away. Benny suppressed the thought and threaded her way to the front desk while the crowd socialized. 2 older women, one white and one black, exchanged recipes written on index cards. Hispanic and white teenagers huddled together, a bouquet of backward baseball caps laughing over photos of a trip to Hershey Park. 2 Vietnamese boys shared the sports section with a white kid across the aisle. Unless prison procedures had changed, these families would be the Monday group, visiting inmates with last names A through F, and over time, they'd become friends. Benny used to think their friendliness a form of denial, until she realized it was profoundly human, like the camaraderie she'd experienced in hospital waiting rooms in the worst circumstances. The guards at the front desk, a woman and a man, were on the telephone. Female and male guards worked at the prison because both sexes were incarcerated here, in separate wings. Behind the desk was a panel of smoked glass that looked opaque but concealed the prison's large, modern control center. Security monitors glowed faintly through the glass, their chalky gray screens ever-changing. A profile moved in front of a lighted screen like a storm cloud in front of the moon. Benny waited patiently for a guard, which cut against her grain. She questioned authority for a living, but she had learned not to challenge prison guards. They performed daily under conditions at least as threatening as those facing cops, but were acutely aware they earned less and weren't the subject of any cool TV shows. No kid grew up wanting to be a prison guard. While Benny waited, a little boy with bells on his shoelaces toddled over and stared up at her. She was used to the reaction even though she wasn't conventionally pretty. Benny stood 6 feet tall, strong and sturdy. Her broad shoulders were emphasized by the padding of her yellow linen suit, and wavy hair the color of pale honey spilled loose to her back. Her features were more honest than beautiful, but big blondes caught the eye, approving or no. Benny smiled at the child to show she wasn't a banana.